Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the ALX Leadership Team monthly call taking place on Wednesday, 24th of August 2016 at 19:30 UTC. On the call today, we have Ellen Greenberg, Tijani Benjema, Holly Rage, Sandra Hofreister, Cheryl Langdonor, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Iriu Lansipuro, Maureen Hilliard, and Julie Hammer. We have apologies from Ariel Liang and Leon Sanchez. Next up, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Isla Gruber, and myself, Yishim Nazar. Finally, I'd like to remind everyone to say their names before speaking for the transcript purposes. Over to you, Ellen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have anything on to add on to the agenda? Seeing nothing, hearing nothing, we will start. The first item is the policy development page. We've worked on that yesterday. There's not a lot of changes. I'm not quite sure I would call it a statement, but I've drafted some words for the two IANA-related comments. Let me post them into the chat. They're short enough that that is where they belong. Here's the one on the intellectual property. And the one on the IANA contract. Anyone have any comments? Essentially, they say thank you for all the hard work. Thank you for doing it on time. We support them. I see a few tick marks. Does anyone see any need to submit these through the formal process with cover pages and such? Given that Ariel is not here and given that the cover page would be an order of magnitude longer than the statement, I'm happy in this case for them just to be submitted once the ALAC agrees. I can just submit them on behalf of the ALAC. Is that okay? Everyone's happy with that. Then I will send them out to the ALAC for a consensus call, and we will get that done. All right. Are there any other issues related to the comments that we need to talk about? I did look at the comments for the .tel registry agreement. There's a fair number of comments, most of them rather negative. It's the kind of thing that if we had someone who was really up on top and involved in user things, we may actually have a negative comment or some comment to make. But I don't know anyone who has a great interest in working on those. If anyone does, we could certainly ask Murray if he wanted to. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Anyone have any thoughts? I'm willing to let it drop if no one else is eager. All right. I'm seeing no one who is particularly eager to pursue this, so I'm willing to let it drop at this point. Olivier, yes, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crepin-Leblanc speaking. And sorry, I didn't respond to this so far because I was reading your statements that you had typed into the chat, and I was deeply taken by these. The second, I'm fine with the first one. Yeah,
is that sarcasm?
No, not at all. I was actually really engulfed in the sentence, only that I'm a bit tired today, so I've had problems to focus, and one-liners are tough to deal with.
Okay.
But I've managed to read the second one-liner, the ICANN-PTI agreement. The ALAC supports the IANA naming function agreement as presented and deeply appreciates all of the effort of CWG members, ICANN staff, and external legal counsel that has gone into finalizing this agreement in a timely manner. I don't know, the splitting of all of the effort and that has gone, feels a little strange. I mean, I would have just thought into the all of the efforts of CWG members without having to say that has gone into finalizing.
I'm delighted to remove three words. Was that too easy? Do you want to keep on arguing for it?
I'm not going to argue for it, but I just wanted to point this one out to you, that's all.
Thank you very much.
And that's what took all of that focusing. Thank you.
All right, we have Julie's hand up.
Thanks, Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we are very well.
Thank you. My apologies, I wasn't quick enough in getting to the button to just make a comment on the first one, on the second string similarity comment.
I just wanted to
highlight to you that the ESAC will be putting in a comment on that one. It's not yet released, so I can't fully share the details of it, but it's going to be quite a negative comment on those guidelines because the ESAC believes that they actually do pose a problem with regard to security and stability. Be aware that the ESAC will not be supporting those guidelines.
All right. Did I not see a draft statement in the last few hours on that one? I saw some email on a draft statement on some statement. Did I not? Or is that one that we're voting? Or is that one that we're actually voting on?
We're actually voting on it. Does that get shared? Well, it's not being voted on yet. It's being reviewed. I wasn't aware that you had those shared with you.
I don't remember, to be honest. Does anyone else? Let me see. I know something showed up in my email that I haven't looked at in the last 24 hours or so.
To the best of my knowledge, it's usually entirely within ESAC at this stage.
No. I'm talking about an ALAC comment.
Oh, right. Okay. My apologies.
I saw something.
The only comment there at the moment is one by Vanda on the ALAC website.
I can't even see a comment. I don't even see the topic on string similarity. Can someone help me? Is it on our policy page?
Yes. A.
Then why can't... Oh, it's adopted already. Proposed guidelines on second string similarity review process?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
Probably. So we have a statement. We voted on it already. It is passed. And now ESAC is going to say something that might be very different. Well, we'll leave with the results.
So this was voted on quite some time ago. My apologies for being late in putting my hand up. But, I haven't been part of that work party. So I've only just in the last couple of days seen the comments on it.
All right. Well, if we've said something which disagrees with ESAC, it's always nice to have controversy.
I think it wouldn't have been something that I would have personally twigged to with my background, but some members of ESAC, I guess, believe.
Yeah, our comment wasn't simply we love everything you've done, so there may not be that much dissimilarity, but whatever it is, we'll live with it.
Okay. Just to let you know.
We could always have a vote to retract our vote if we... That will make life interesting. Thank you, Julie. The other item that we left unresolved in the ALAC meeting is the GTLD Marketplace Health Index. And I don't know whether anyone, I know, Olivier, you were talking about it a little bit. Is there any interest in actually formulating something? We still have a couple of weeks before that one is due.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. It's sort of speaking. I had said that it did look a little bit like ticking boxes, and there were some things that were missing in there. I'll put it on my action items to maybe draft something for that, and then if you think it's worth pushing forward, then we'll push it forward. If you think it's not, then we can forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, if all we have there is fluff to make it look like we're doing our due diligence, then I wouldn't mind commenting, saying something like that, perhaps not quite in those words, but...
The last thing
we need is another round that does more of the same if indeed we haven't really done our homework. So.
Yeah, it's Olivier speaking. I mean, the problem here is that the document that is given to us is just a group of graphics, nice-looking graphics and things, but it doesn't actually ask the right questions. So I think I mentioned last time quickly what was, I'll look at that and I'll put it down in a few words and send it to the mailing list so that
okay,
we can start.
Thank you very much. Any other comments, input on the public comments? Seeing nothing, hearing nothing, we'll go on to the next agenda item. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Olivier Capalablon speaking. When one looks at the open public comment proceedings, the actual page for the public comments, there also appears to be the at-large community policy issues paper that Ariel drafted and also the Uralo Hot Topics paper. I don't know why they are listed here. Whether are they listed for commenting or not?
They are listed. We put anything where we're soliciting comments there.
In a recent paper, a recent call, the Uralo call, we tried accessing the Uralo one, and the permission was denied. So it's
I'm presuming staff have fixed that since then. That was a whole day ago.
They have not done so. No.
Oh well. Maybe we need an action item. Was an action item taken on the Uralo call?
I think it might have been, but I think it might have not been recorded as such.
Can I ask for our good staff to comment?
Yeah, so again, the question is that you need to have the Uralo as well as the at-large documents available to everyone on those pages. Is that on the policy development pages? Is that correct?
I believe if we are asking for comments from the world, then they should be able to look at the document.
Yeah, apologies for that. We'll get that sorted.
Okay.
Straight away.
The Uralo one is a Uralo issue largely, and the ALAC one is later on the agenda, Olivier.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Next item, review of the ALAC call. There are two items which bear a little bit of discussion that are not later on our agenda explicitly. The first is rules of procedure. My sense from that discussion is there is nobody raising any real red flags. There was the suggestion of some wording changes, a change in one case, and there are the suggestions that Tijani made. And I'll be coming out with a revision in the next day or so to reflect all of those. But I didn't sense any real problem. And I will look into whether we can finesse the appointment of our director without having to take any kind of awkward action. I suspect that we can do something like that. But I'm probably going to... Heidi, could you put an action item for you and me to formulate a question for ICANN Legal?
Yes.
Thank you.
Being taken. Can I just go back to Olivier's question, Alan, really quickly about... So I'm looking at the policy development page under the at-large Uralo Hot Topics, and I'm assuming it's the same for the policy document. But for the Uralo one, the text is actually on the wiki page. And then the second thing is the ALAC going to vote on that document? That was not my impression. I thought that was
the Uralo page. There is no intent. Those columns should be not applicable for the vote one.
Okay, and that's for both the Uralo as well as the at-large one, is that correct?
That's, I would believe so, yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. The Uralo text is on the wiki, indeed, and I commented on it, and Olivier responded to my comments, so it is already on the wiki. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next item is ALAC selections. The I've sent a message to the ALAC selections committee. And I will receive, we've received, I think, three or four comments back, and all of them are indicating that it would be good practice this year to open up all of the nominations, and them barring some surprise in the any comments that follow in the next day or two, we will open up all of the positions for nominations and selection by the selection committee and then the ALAC. Number one question for this group is how long should that call for, assuming the call goes out, and at this point it looks like it will, how long do you believe we need to leave nominations open? Tijani, go ahead.
7 days minimum.
Okay, 7 days minimum. That I thought was a given. We might have a little bit more time, but we do have to allow, for both the selection committee to meet and for a vote should that be taken. But we have at this point still close to 2 months, so I think we can probably even allow it a little bit longer than that. So, but if everyone's happy, at least 7 days, and if we can keep it open longer, then so be it. All right. Then I would like to ask staff to start drafting a set of criteria and requirements for each of the positions. Don't agonize over getting it perfect. If you can draft some bullet points for each of the positions and send it to this group for refinement so that we're ready, within 4 or 5 days, we're ready to put out a call should it be necessary. And as I said, at this point, it looks like it will. We want to make it really clear in the call that these are criteria-based positions. One of the points made by someone who responded on the selection committee was even if we end up reappointing the same person, the process does result in giving us a list of other people who might be interested, who might have some of the qualifications, if not all, and could act as, I won't say shadow people, because the groups we have liaisons to do not necessarily allow for that, but certainly people who could be kept in the loop, and that's a pretty good answer. Any other comments on the selection process for liaisons? The one liaison which is interesting is the .mobi one. That one, you'll recall, we have a .dot liaison. We have a liaison there because their contract requires them to have a slot on their policy advisory board for the ALAC. Murray McKercher has held the position for the last several years. I did verify with Murray. My recollection was that it is a position with remuneration, and indeed it is, and it is $2,500 U.S. per year with the requirement to attend 4 conference calls, some of which they don't bother having. So one of the questions I'm going to ask this group is, do we note that in the call? It's the only position in any of our things that is, in fact, has a significant price associated with it. Tijani, go ahead.
Please don't. Alan. Please don't. And I expect that it will be a real fight to get this position. So it's a pity that we know it, and I don't think it is wise to put it on the announcement. Thank you.
Thank you. Other people support that?
Yep.
That was my feeling as well, but I, in the spirit of openness, I had to ask the question. All right. Next item on the agenda is the BMSPC and BCEC. There is a vote ongoing, which presumably will pass very shortly. And the various prompting we did for additional volunteers or nominations for the various positions seems to have been effective. I think we have sufficient people who have been named, and presumably in all five RALOs we will have selections. I'm encouraging the RALO leaders to give their selections sooner rather than later so we can set up a doodle and get the initial meetings in these groups. I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said on that case, but I will open the floor. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Even if for one RALO or for all RALOs there is only three consistent dates, the RALO should tell us who will be the member and who will be the alternate. Thank you.
That's correct. Anything else on that item before we go on to the next one? This meeting may well end early, and that will not be dissatisfying for me. The next item is the review of the document that was drafted at request of Ariel by at the request of Renalia, largely by Ariel, although I know Heidi had some hand in it. And Heidi, do you want to take us through that?
Yes. So this is going to be posted in the AC room shortly. It's also on the agenda directly, so you can open it if you would like. Just wait and see if we can get that into the AC room. Thank you, Gisela. Okay, so this was a request from Renalia. She is going to be meeting, among other members of the board, will be meeting some high-level European Commission officials during or on the sidelines of their board workshop in Brussels in September. And she asked if staff working with Olivier and the ALT to draft two documents. The first one is, as we mentioned earlier, the Uralo one. So that one's basically been finalized, and that's just a European document. This next one is the broader at-large community policy issues, why end users should care. And Ariel worked with Olivier, I believe only Olivier, on the main, identifying the main topics. So there are several of those, and we'll go through there in just a minute. I also added some introductory parts of that. So we sent an earlier version to
Heidi, I'll note that the three introductory paragraphs are not on the wiki and not in the document that the wiki contains.
Yes, because we're going to update that.
Okay.
So this one, I didn't want to post that until, you know, you'd looked at it. But Olivier has looked at it, and he says this one is fine. So basically what I had sent earlier versions to Renalia, she liked it. In terms of the length and et cetera, she just wanted it to be more of this format of summary and then why should European users care. So you'll see that there are, lost my document. Here it is. Okay, so some of the items, do you want me to just go through the each topic?
Very briefly, I don't think we want to start editing on this, and I think we'll give this group a few days to comment before we go further. But Yes, if you could just sort of summarize, go over what the main topics are and okay. the gist of them.
So accountability and transparency of ICANN. Again, summary would be basically that end users are an integral part of ICANN's multi-stakeholder community. Their contributions are essential, and they are primarily working with the affected party in matters of the public interest. And then why should end users care? End users, basically legitimacy, and they also strengthen the inclusive, transparent, global, and collaborative model of governance. I mean, is that the detail that you'd like, Alan?
Yes, I think so. What I do want is sort of comments on the overall tone, and are they covering things? For instance, in this one, one of the reasons I believe we have to care and users should care about ICANN accountability is ICANN is perhaps the sole voice of users in the internet world. You know, it's the only place where, as a formal part of the organization, users have a voice. They clearly, you know, can speak up at ARIN meetings or at LACNIC meetings, but they're not there as the formal part of it. Whereas in ICANN, they are there, and this is a forum where user issues can be raised, and that only works if ICANN has the credibility to exist in the world. So, you know, I would add that in some shortened way onto that rationale. Holly.
Something that I think you will have picked up as well, but from all of the discussion that's going on the RDS working group, some of that is, well, why do who is, registrants don't know about who is, let alone the public, why does it matter? And I'm reading this going, well, actually it does. And I don't know whether to put a sentence in there or not, but a lot of what happens actually does impact on the user, even if the user has no idea about what goes on in ICANN.
Well, if you'd like to try to formulate a short sentence, you know, we're not going to put everything in. We have to keep this at a reasonable length. So this isn't going to be the full laundry list, but I think we want to hit the high points that will impress people that says that sends the message, we really have thought about this.
Yeah, okay. Heidi, would you send me an email and just remind me and put an action item against my name? Because I think we need to make that point really strongly. Thank you.
Okay, Holly noted. Alan, I've incorporated your sentence in a rough form in this, but, you know, just given the time, I agree that I think that we should just maybe edit it or add the comment.
Yeah, no. I was giving an example. I wasn't trying to influence the text in this thing. So let's continue.
Yeah, but I do think that is an important. Your point was important, so I do.
I will contribute it. I was just giving as an example.
Okay, so then second point is the contracted party agreement. And that talks about registry agreement and the RIA. And let's see, they basically summary includes that basically what they are, what those two kind of agreements are, and that they directly affect individual registrants' rights, obligations, and overall experience. And why should end users care? And they're critical to the security and stability of the domain name system, and they affect end users who do not. Even if they do not have domain registrations. And then here was a point that Olivier did highlight, but I think we changed it enough to where it's a little bit more neutral. Individual registrants and end users can contribute to shaping contracted party agreements, specifically the RAA, through the GNSO processes.
Okay. I would, if I were king, I would remove the first bullet. That says, that says the contracting time is an opportunity for users to submit complaints about the registry.
Oh, the very first under summary. Okay.
Under summary, yes.
Yeah.
Because what that says in bold, big bold letters is all the other processes ICANN has in place to resolve problems don't work. Now, that may be true.
I support your position.
But I don't think that should be our lead point. and I'm not sure it should be there at all.
Okay, so that one has been deleted.
Okay. Jesus.
Okay.
I guess we are editing. I guess we are editing dynamically.
Well, the delete is pretty quick to do, so I
can. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Okay, so I'm looking at my own document, so please, Sylvia or Yeshim, could you please let me know if anyone has their hand raised? Or
yeah,
I'm
watching
one.
Hands too.
Okay, next one, engagement and outreach. Summary, engagement and outreach efforts are a focus of the at-large community. I think that's pretty true. I don't know. At-large has been collaborating closely with ICANN staff departments on the development and implementation of a variety of programs and events which aim to get end users involved in ICANN. I wonder if we should be more specific with GSC,
no.
But perhaps I'll look
no.
at that. Anyway, no? Okay.
No, I think that's fine.
And then promoting diversity and inclusion, at-large leads initiatives that target underserved communities. And they mentioned various ones, including the Tribal Ambassador Fellowship, which did get Renalia and others very excited on the board list. So I think we should make sure we talk about that one. Going at least into Hyderabad. Okay, why should end users care? They are the outreach and engagement efforts are critical for maintaining a sustainable flow of end user volunteers.
That's good.
Okay, next item, IANA functions and stewardship transition. C comments. Not sure what that means. Actually, I don't know why that's there.
Whether it's meant to be a hyperlink to the comments that we made on our work. That's the only thing I could make sense of it.
It's not in the wiki document, so it was added afterwards.
Oh, if in doubt, out, but, you know,
yeah.
The only thing I could suggest is, you know, if it was a link to our comments or our page
okay.
on it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to add more context. I'm making a note to myself. Add more context and hyperlink.
There seems to be a fair amount of difference between what you have and what is on the wiki. So there's been a lot of changes.
Oh, gosh. Well, yes, absolutely. Is this... Okay, are you...
I mean, I see a reference to one internet for the world, which I don't see in your comment.
Okay, so, Alan, don't look at the one on the wiki. That one is...
Okay,
I have not
fine.
Even at all, because that doesn't have any of the changes that I made and that whole formatting bit. And I
okay.
Olivier and I deleted a lot, so please.
Okay, I thought Olivier was only working on the Urello version, but okay.
No, he commented to the other one as well.
Okay, thank you.
One. Okay, so I'll make a statement to that. Okay, other points. Although the IANA functions are operational functions, they do require global governance and stewardship, in which end users play an important role. Specifically, an ALAC liaison is involved in the operational oversight previously performed by the NTIA as it relates to the monitoring of ICANN's performance of the IANA naming functions. Okay, and why should end users care? Is ultimately, this stewardship transition matters to every end user as its success will allow for the continued expansion and innovation of diversity and innovation of one open, unified, and interoperable global internet.
Yeah, I think one of the... perhaps the lead one there you want is that within the multi-stakeholder environment, users are one of the few groups with no vested interest other than wanting to see it work well. I don't believe there is an other group. Well, ESSAC probably fits into that criteria, but everyone else has their own axes to grind, so to speak, at least some parts of them. Obviously, that expression would not be used, but I think the fact that we have no, what's the word, not no commitment, no can someone come up with a word? Tijani, you have your hand up. We'll let you speak, and while I'm fumbling for words.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. Why should the end user care about whether the IANA is have an oversight from the U.S. government or from the community? What is the difference for the end user? Does the end user feel that if you tell me things which are associated with the transition, yes, such as the accountability, etc. But if it is only the transition of the oversight of the functions, the end user will not care because he will not feel it at all.
The user will not care unless we mess up.
Yes, in both cases, Alan.
Yes. So our involvement, I mean, look, why have we spent so much time on this? And at large, and the, many of the people on this call have spent a huge amount of time on it. And the reason is, in words that I perhaps would not want quoted in a very public forum, because we didn't want it messed up. I might have used a stronger word than messed.
Yes, Alan, I understand that.
Yeah.
And we were strongly involved because we didn't want it to be done behind behind us, and we want to be sure that things will go in the best way. But once it is done, the other will not see it, will not feel it.
That's correct. It's why we have been involved in the transition, not why do we passionately care that the transition happened, other than it takes a set of controversial things out of the equation. That is, the U.S. is in control. Puts them back in a different way, but
exactly.
We're living with that. Olivier, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Capanabro speaking. So first thing, the question mark about C comment, I think that was an internal note that Ariel put on there. I sent a comment separately. She had some other text that was there that didn't fit at all. So that's probably just half-baked. I'll try and find the comment that I made and send it over. Secondly, why the transition matters to every end user. We have to remember the INA stewardship transition and the INA functions are purely technical functions. And the end users really want something that works. And I think that was the most important part of it all. Whoever was running it, whatever it was going to do, it needed to continue being as reliable as it is today. So here it says its success will offer the continued expansion, diversity, and innovation of one open, unified, interoperable global internet. Make sure there is continuity. Make sure that it's remained stable. I think I might have actually had a table in there. I don't know why that wasn't changed either. But okay, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, the gist of what I was trying to say, put in different words, is many of the other people within the multi-stakeholder community have specific private agendas. They had things they wanted to achieve, and we went into this without any private agendas, and therefore I believe we were a stabilizing influence on it. In any case, we are only a fraction of it through the document, and we're going to have to go a lot quicker if we're going to finish. Heidi, back to you.
Okay. So I'll just very quickly mention the topics, and I would suggest that staff puts the latest version up onto the wiki, and then we send it out for review to ALEC Announce. Would you like to do that, Alan, for a few days?
Why don't we give this group a couple of days first?
Okay, so ALT first. So I'll send it out to individual ALTs or the XCOM list?
Oh, the list is fine. If anyone really wants to look at our list and see it, it's not secret.
Okay.
I just want a version which has the benefit of our comments in the one we publicly post.
And okay, I'll send
we may we may want to we may want to take down the one that's there because it's so outdated.
Yeah. Actually, I think Yeshin has already added the one that I.
Well, that's fine if it's there, but without highlighting it, that's fine.
Okay. Okay. So basically, the next items, just some of the main topics are IANA. IANA operations and finances, IANA policy processes, IDNs, internet governance.
You mean ICANN policy processes? You said IANA.
Yes, sorry. on my mind. Okay, IDNs, Internet Governance, new GTLDs, which, Olivier, thank you for adding. You added a good summary of that. And then public interest. And then reviews at ICANN.
Sure. Back to Internet Governance. The claim has been made that although we are an aspect of Internet Governance, we as ICANN are not really heavily involved in Internet Governance. Now, you know, yes, we do occasionally participate in IGFs and things like that. I'm just questioning, is that really one of our focus items or not? Olivier, is that a new hand?
Oh, sorry, that was an old hand, but if there's nobody else, I could respond to this.
There are three other people, so why don't you respond briefly?
Very briefly, if we don't deal with Internet governance at ICANN, I think that we'll lose a lot of people because that's the whole thing. ICANN is within a certain environment, and it needs to be very much involved with everything else that happens out there. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, I guess my concern is by focusing on Internet governance, we do attract a lot of people who have no interest whatsoever in all the other things we do. But maybe that's part of life. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. I want to remind you, Alan, that in our region, a lot of our ILSs are very involved in Internet governance, locally, national IGFs, sub-regional IGFs, regional IGFs, and also the global IGFs. So it is not our first focus, but I think that our community is really interested in the Internet governance.
Okay, thank you. Holly?
ICANN is the only Internet governance structure that actually has enforcement powers. If we don't teach that and if we don't bring it in, then we're actually missing part of the ecosystem.
Okay. You don't have to gang up on me. You've made your point. Heidi?
Okay. So new GTLDs, public interest, reviews at ICANN, who is? Should we do who is / RDS or Holly?
Yes.
Right now it just says who is.
Yes.
Thank you.
Spell out RDS, okay, not just the initials.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and that is the end of the document.
Okay, send out the clean one or send or post as you wish, and give us, you know, let's say to the end of the weekend for anyone to comment for revisions and then go to the wider community.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Thank you for that. I will let Renalia know that it's...
Next item, ICANN 57.
Okay, now...
First item is travel slots. We have had a large amount of vacancies and replacements. Heidi, can you or somebody summarize for each of the RALOs and for the current two ALAC slots who is replacing whom?
Okay, I'm going to hand that over to Gisela because she is in charge of the travel database. So, Gisela, over to you. Gisela? Gisela, if you're speaking, you're on
mute. Do you want to put this later in the agenda?
Yes. I can discuss other travel-related questions, though, if you'd like.
If you have any, if there are any.
So, yes, as we discussed earlier, Alan, may I go ahead regarding the visa costs and the purchasing of
tickets?
Yes, please. Okay, so 2 points. One is the question of visa costs. So ICANN actually covers up to $200 for visa costs without any questions, just need evidence that those funds were reasonably spent. And then the second point...
Heidi, may I interrupt? You said that to me earlier and I didn't comment. My recollection is ICANN says they will cover up to $200 for visa costs and the cost of getting the visa.
Correct.
All right.
Well, let me just take a look. He's just...
But I thought there actually was a $100 limit to the visa itself.
So Joseph replied just a few minutes ago, just follow up from our conversation. He says our maximum is actually $200. Okay.
Have we lost you, Heidi?
She was just being a mother, Alan. And she
I know.
He loves to see us.
In the meantime, you wish to have some fireworks display here, my dear.
All right.
Thank you, Olivier. That's lovely. Thank you.
All right. What Heidi was going to say is currently there is a $200 limit no matter what it says somewhere. The practice has been, if you remember after the fiascos we've had with Baran having to go to, at that point, Nigeria when she wasn't in Nigeria, to get a visa, ICANN is now covering reasonable expenses for travel to get visas. I haven't heard of anyone being turned down, even if the expenses are significantly above $200. And the assumption is that if someone can demonstrate that their visa costs are significantly higher than $200, such as that's what India is charging is higher, that it will require approval from Joseph, but that approval will be given and will be given promptly. If we find that is not the case, we have to take some action. So visas should not be a problem in terms of costs. And if they are, we need to react quickly and we need to make sure our travelers understand they should let us know if there is indeed a problem. I don't know if Heidi is back yet, if she'd like to continue or not. Have we lost Heidi's connection?
It must be really misbehaving.
Heidi is typing.
No.
Heidi was muted. I am muted. You are muted. That is a new word.
That's a lovely new word. I think we should unmute more people.
Heidi,
okay, can
consider
you hear
yourself
me now?
Unmuted.
Can you hear me?
We certainly can.
Hooray.
Did
Sorry,
you hear me saying what you what you were going to say? All right.
Yeah, basically thank you, Alan. Sorry, I have a really fast mute button, Adigo, so I can mute myself if need be. Okay, so yes, on that, on the visas, I will double check, but my feeling is that ICANN will cover visa costs. But I'll just get the steps on that. So the second question, Olivia, I believe it was yours, was whether ICANN, given the complexity of the Indian visas, whether ICANN will purchase tickets before the visas are actually in hand. And the response is from Joseph is yes, they will this time. Basically, if you would, they will, as long as they have evidence that you're in process of getting a visa. And particularly if you're from countries in North America and Europe, they will go ahead and basically allow that the purchase to go ahead on a case-by-case basis. So it's just a quick email over to Contingency Travel.
Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I would like to give you an information. Aziz got his application refused by the embassy because they asked for another document, another invitation letter, not the one he presented, because he presented the two invitation letters, the ICANN one and the local host one. And the embassy asked for another kind of invitation letter. So I hope it is an exception. Aziz will not have a problem because he will get documents from the foreign office for their foreign office, and he will get his visa, no problem. But I am afraid I may have the same problem, and I cannot apply now because I am traveling on Sunday, and I will not come back before the next Sunday. So I have to apply after at least 10 days. And if they refuse my application, it would be a problem for me. Thank you.
Okay. Can we find out exactly what kind of letter they wanted?
Alan?
Cheryl, go ahead. Or Olivier, Thanks. Whoever has an answer.
If I may, it's Cheryl here. My experience with the variable embassies around the world, micromanaged by despots in the name of India, is that it's not going to be terribly uniform. It is so much up to the mood of whomever manages these things locally. It's a well-known problem. It's a well-known issue, and we're going to have to just work these things as they go. The greatest problems I have ever had have been getting visas in and out of India, and that includes literally delaying flight up to 3 times when I was preventing on a conference. And I eventually, the travel person who secured my ticketing walked to the office in the embassy, got the passport off the desk, and we picked up the visa on the way to the airport for the last possible flight. They just don't care.
I understand. I've had similar problems. I have also had problems with other countries, which I can't be quite as graphic as yours, but they require more papers than I have to provide to get a mortgage. So, yes. But in any case, what I was asking is, if we know what what that particular bureaucrat was asking for, maybe we can cover ourselves in some other cases. Olivier.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alan. I'm not speaking. I've asked for my invitation letters. I got the one from Mike, and I haven't received the one yet from the hosts. But I have heard from, if you go over to the ICANN social on Facebook, you'll find that in some places they say that there is you need to actually bring the physical letter rather than something that is emailed over to you. And I wondered what the process was with regards to that. Then secondly also, I cannot send my passport away to an embassy until middle of September. But
okay.
Did Heidi correctly say that we can get tickets before that or after that?
Let me answer. Olivia, you're very noisy. So let me answer. For people in countries where your visa is likely to be accepted or issued, tickets will be issued ahead of time prior to the visa being received. In other countries where there is a higher probability of the $4,000 ticket going down the drain, they may not do that, but of course they will then pay higher prices, and that's a liability I can't accept. So that's in terms of tickets. In terms of visa issuing, as Cheryl said, the rules vary. They don't only vary based on the local bureaucrats. I am told that for some countries, the process is purely online. There is no visit to an embassy required. There are no invitation letters required. So it varies. You have to go all the way through the online process to find out if the next step is we'll send you your visa or you have to book an appointment at the local consulate or the embassy. It varies heavily based on the countries. So I'm told, but I haven't verified yet, I don't need invitation letters. I will know that within a day or so as I complete the process. Tijani, go ahead.
It was just to say that the kind of letter they wanted, it is a letter from the Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Foreign Affairs in India.
The Indian Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
They say that this is not the kind, they have a typical kind of invitation letter that they were looking for. But
okay.
I hope it is a special case.
Okay, thank you. Do we have Gisela back with the traveler list yet?
Yes, she's here. This is Heidi. Gisela?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Sorry, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Sorry about that. Yes, with regards to the traveler list, it's quite an extensive list, so I haven't put it up on the screen. So far we have just a little question with regard to Satish Babu, who is taking Siranusha's travel slot.
Yeah, Gisela, can we go railo by railo? And I'd like to know who is not traveling and who is traveling in their place.
Absolutely. Sorry about that. We will go railo by railo. We have
Gisela, sorry to
the...
Yes. Could you back off your mic just a little bit?
Yes.
You're very... Okay,
thank you. Sorry? Is that better?
Yes.
Much better.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the five relos, let me just go through the relos. We have our three ALAC members traveling. We have the chair, Aziz, and the vice chair, Mohammed, who will be traveling. And all have confirmed. With regards to AP Ralo, we have our three ALAC members traveling. With regards to the chair, Siranusha stepped down, and we have the temporary chair, who is Satish Babu, who has taken on the full travel slot, so we still have possibly a question there, as he is also running the Indian summer school, which is taking place from the 31st of October to the 2nd of November. So initially he had the hotel and per diem covered and no travel, as it was
we'll get to that when we get to the ALAC class.
Okay, perfect. Then we have Ali, who's traveling as well for AP Ralo with regard to regional leaders. For Uralo, we have our three ALAC members who are traveling with Sandra, who is giving up part of her travel slot as she is also partially funded by the NOMCOM. So Anne-Marie Jolie will be taking over the... Sorry, I'm just looking at the list. She will be taking over the air and the travel slot and the per diem. She won't get hotel coverage, and that is something that Olivier sent out to the Uralo list. Unfortunately, there weren't very many takers there. With regard to
the optics of that one are rather poor, unfortunately.
Yes, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. As it's probably summer in Europe, and I don't know if India's top of the list on many people's travel lists, but I know that Olivier did do his best to get to fill these slots. So we also have Uralo.
Or no one.
Yeah, let's go on with finish the list, please.
Then we have the LAC Ralo, the three LAC Ralo ALAC members traveling, and we have the two LAC Ralo leadership traveling. We also have two of the Naralo ALAC members traveling. As Garth is not able to make it, John Laprise will be taking his place, and then we have Naralo leadership traveling. Then we have, which are not included in the 25 ALAC travel slots, the incoming members, which for Afralo is the incoming secretary, Sarah Kitten. We also have the incoming ALAC member for Uralo, which is Veronica Cretu, but because she's not able to travel, it will be Erich Schweikofer from Austrian ALS who will be traveling. And then also with regards to the LAC Ralo ALAC incoming member, it is Alberto Soto. So that was just to point out that they are not counted in the 25, but those are additional slots.
Yeah.
With regards to
interrupt for a moment? Heidi, is that normal that if Veronica could, an incoming one cannot travel, that we get the slot and can reuse it? I've never heard of that example, that case before.
I think there was a case. Let me double check, but I
I would have thought that that's an exception because of incoming members, not one that can be redeployed. If they're letting us, fine, but I'm just rather surprised at that. All right, back to you, Gisela.
Sorry, and then, Alan, I'll hand it over to you for the two additional slots for the ALAC, which are slots 26 and 27, one being for Iri Lansipuro, who's fully funded, and the second one being for Cheryl Langdon Orr, who is only for travel, as the hotel and per diem are fully covered for the entire duration of the ICANN 57 by the CCWG.
Okay, thank you. We had planned originally on using the room and per diem of that slot for Satish. He had been funded for travel by the Indian School of Internet Governance. He has opted to take Sirinush's place, which allows his airfare to be used by someone else for the School of Governance. But that leaves us with a half a slot. Essentially, we can provide a hotel for someone for whom we cannot provide transit. I have asked Heidi to check again whether they will allow us to carry it over to the next meeting. The next meeting is going to be in Copenhagen. There are going to be plenty of people who could, travel via in Europe with with a relatively cheap train ride, and or equally cheap airfare, and we could make use of that one easily in Copenhagen, whereas it's a much more difficult sell doing it in Hyderabad. We may end up in a position where they say, no, we can't do that. If they do, I'm going to make a fuss about it, but it may end up that way anyway. So if anyone has any thoughts on who might be able to use a hotel room when they have to pay their own airfare to get there, please speak up. I'm not sure we're going to find a lot of people like that. All right, I think we've pretty well covered the travel issue, and can we go on to whatever else we want to cover on the meeting itself? Not repeating exactly what we did on the ALAC meeting, but if there's anything that we want to try to assign to people or, go ahead.
Alan, if I may, just since the ALAC meeting and what I told you on our call that we had earlier on, I just wanted to share that the GAC has suggested a slot for Sunday the 6th of November. It's a 45-minute slot. We are confirming with the GAC whether it is the ALT and GAC leadership or whether it's with the entire ALAC and GAC. 45-minute slot is one up from what was previously suggested of 30 minutes at one of the two previous meetings that we've just had, and we bumped it up. So if it's 45 minutes, it's highly preferable to have it just with the ALT, as it will leave little time for discussion. And we haven't had confirmation on that yet, so we'll let you know as soon as we hear back from them, and also whether we're able to extend this by 15 minutes and have a full hour with the GAC. We'll have a 30-minute slot with the SAC. Sorry?
Yeah, I think it's rather problematic. If the time they are asking for is out of the regular schedule, that is, it's not lunch, it's going to be rather hard for both the GAC and the ALAC to tell the other people to, go take an hour off while the elite people meet. That's just not going to fly. The optics of it, certainly on the ALAC side, are not good. And whether they can pull that off on the GAC side, I don't know. But it certainly doesn't sound like something we want to advertise.
Yes, Alan Giesler here. The suggested time is 2 to 2.45, and the lunch break finishes at 1.30. So that, again, leaves not only half an hour time between the lunch break and meeting with the GAC, but also, as you said, if it's only the ALT, that leaves quite a bit of a void in our very busy schedule. But I'll keep you posted as soon as we hear back from them.
Make sure you copy Uriah on all of these, any interactions.
Okie dokie. And the ESSAC have confirmed a 30-minute slot with what they wish to address, thanks to Julie Hammer and Julie Headland. So we're working on that to integrate that into the ALAC agenda on Friday the 4th of November. As confirmed on the ALAC call, I won't repeat myself, but it's important we have already set the slot with the board on Monday the 7th from 9:45 to 10:45, and that's about as much information as we have at this stage, just that we are having an AP RALO ICANN 57 activities call Thursday 05:30 UTC. So that's tomorrow morning at 5:30 UTC, where we'll be going over all the AP RALO activities, and they're making great progress on that. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much. Heidi, anything else on ICANN 57?
Yes, sorry. 2 points of the at-large leadership session, which is the strategy session, and development sessions. But I think that, do you wish to discuss that using the ALT, or how would you like to proceed on developing those?
Well, on the leadership session, whether it's strategy or not, because we're talking about what do we want to schedule on any at-large leadership meetings, not just the first day, can you draft a request, or do you prefer it comes from me to the ALAC asking for what do they want to see? In the past, we've sent out this list of sessions, and people could tick them off. I don't remember whether we did it in a spreadsheet or a doodle. Was that useful as a tool to making decisions, or do we want to do it more freeform? Anybody?
Alan, this is Heidi. Just not really responding to your last specific question, but just in general, what happened last year, if you may recall, is that we had a fantastic agenda, and then you were called out to, I believe it was a CCWG or some meeting, and you weren't there. So, and then because we sort of needed your, you know, chairing there, it sort of was primarily a session of going through the day-by-day, you know, almost hour-by-hour at-large agenda. And I did receive some negative feedback from that. So basically, if you could ensure that you are there, and secondly, you know, not go through the agenda in great detail.
I'm sorry, I've lost you. Not go through the agenda in great detail when?
Yeah. During that first day session, because last year we basically had to revert to going through the agenda in detail during the strategy session, because you had to be in another meeting.
Okay, look.
That's
number one. Let's stop segregating the Saturday from the other days. We're going to have a fair number of meetings, and we need the flexibility of moving them around. There is going to be overlap for any of us who have GNSO PDP work that we're going to have to try to look at and decide whether some people are out of the room or they give up the GNSO one and don't participate in that. So we are going to have to address that as we go forward with the agenda. That all being said, do we want to use a free format, or do we want to give the ALAC a list of options saying yes, 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 no, no, and then ask for any other topics that they would like to see covered? In the past, we have used a table. I'm asking, was it a useful exercise or not? Does anyone remember?
Alan, Cheryl has her hand raised.
Then Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Look, by the sounds of things, and I've been a little distant from some of these particular activities, because I've also been out of the room in a lot of these situations, it sounds to me like you're going to be better off with a free format, but asking for any input so you get some
strategic hot topics, et cetera, which then, depending on your leadership and who's running these sessions, they can manage more or less effectively. The problem with going through the somewhat tighter controlled, or apparently tighter controlled, grid system is one of two things frequently happens. Someone will slavishly and laboriously drag everybody through them regardless of whether or not they're worthy or not. Or secondly, it'll get hijacked and the people who like to have their checkboxes ticked off will get irritated because, you know, a topic is taking what they think is an inordinate amount of time. So I think, you know, you might be better off free-forming it a little bit this time, but still encourage and allow your ALAC to make any key contributions from a strategic point of view. Thanks.
Yeah, my concern is the last two meetings have been rather unusual. We have had very few meetings with other parts of ICANN, and some of the things we have traditionally done, because both Helsinki and Marrakesh, we devoted huge amounts of time to other things. So my concern is that the memory of people might be such that they don't remember what some of the other options are, and that's the benefit of giving them the laundry list. Heidi and I will come to some, Heidi Aggiesel will come to some conclusion, and we'll query the ALAC and leaders within the next few days as to what kind of things they want to see put into the agenda. Development session. Heidi, do you want to talk for 2 minutes about that?
Yes, I'll speak for 1 minute. First, again, just for the ALAC, the idea that Cheryl, Alan, and I have is that it would be broken down into small groups where there would be, let's say, three ALAC members and liaisons working on in a fishbowl type of experience approach. So they would pick a particular topic and then they would report back or discuss those issues to the whole group, who can also intervene at the same time. So Cheryl, if you wanted to add anything to that, feel free.
Heidi, no, I don't think so, but not at this stage. Time is getting away from us on this meeting, but what I would suggest is, as you did, research out fishbowl concepts. I think when we put material out for everyone to consider, we do need to take the time to give them some backgrounding and links.
All right, let's try to put some more time into a next meeting on that. Anything else on the ICANN 57, or we may go ahead? Hearing nothing, at-large review. There was very little to report, but it was reported in the at-large and the ALAC meeting. Is there anything further that needs to be added today that wasn't already said?
There is not, Alan. This is Cheryl speaking on behalf of Holly and myself.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid I have to go on hold for 30 seconds. Excuse me, please.
Cheryl, it's Olivier here. Are you going to provide us with an interlude whilst Alan is on hold?
Well, I could, but I would thought perhaps your background noise is always far more entertaining than mine. I mean,
it's finished.
It's just
the fire.
A good champagne cork, my dear, you know.
Well, the fireworks are finished, so there you go. Anyway, I'll go back to mute. Alan should be back to bring you that.
All right. Next item is the UGTLD working group. At the second to last ALT meeting, we decided that we would not worry at this point about revitalizing all of our working groups, but that the new GTLD one was critical to a number of things, and we needed to get it put together quickly. We have done nothing since then. I'm going to suggest that we draft a message going out widely, looking for members and looking for a volunteer to lead it, unless we have someone we know that we can buttonhole to lead it. Any comments? Can anyone still hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, Thank you. Just making sure. Seeing no hands, that is the plan that will be going forward.
Alan,
yes.
just on that chair while I've got the microphone. We did, the wiki space was sent up, and certainly there was some list traffic from Maureen on that. I wouldn't say nothing's been done, but certainly I've been otherwise occupied. But,
I haven't seen a doodle for a meeting, so we're not quite there. All right, we will draft something and pass it by the ALT for any further comments. The same is basically true on the follow-on to the IANA Issues Ad Hoc Working Group. We need a group that will act in some capacity in relation to the Workstream 2 issues of the CCWG accountability, and I think we're in a similar position. Olivier was kind enough to chair and put a significant amount of effort into the last group. I don't know whether Olivier is volunteering again. I'm not presuming he is. But certainly if anyone on this call wants to take responsibility for that, you are welcome to. Other than that, we will also have to look for some leaders or co-leaders. No. Okay. Any other business? I have one very small item, and that is on one of our mailing lists today. I did not receive a message that was sent out and disseminated on the list. I don't know whether this is a one-off problem or unique to me. So if anyone sees any other indications that mails may not be being delivered properly from ICANN mailing, at large mailing lists, be sensitive to it and let someone know if indeed that happens to you. Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier, I'm not speaking, and for some reason I seem to have a big lag on my Adobe Connect suddenly. So I wanted to just touch on the IANA Issues Ad Hoc Working Group follow-on. I'm happy to continue running the calls and leading it or co-leading it, whatever. Of course, I think that the people who are currently on the group should remain. We should save ourselves from having to create something new, etc. But maybe we should ask, we should send out a call for renewed membership now that it's less on IANA Issues and more on the Workstream 2. We might wish to have some more members from our community, and perhaps even make them busy in the different work streams. That's all.
Would you suggest we keep the same mailing list or repopulate a new one with the same people?
It's Olivia speaking. Why reinvent the wheel?
Just because IANA Issues
there
is no longer a particularly relevant name. But I'm happy to keep it. I'm just asking your opinion.
Yeah, whichever is easiest. If we want a new name, sure, fine. We can do find another name and do it.
Yeah, that means new archive and new everything. I'm happy to keep the IANA Issues, even if we can do what we do on the ALT list. We call it the ALT list, but if you look at the details, it's still XCOM.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay, done.
Well, fine. Otherwise, we could bank this one. We could start a new mailing list. And just importing the whole list of people from the IANA Issues mailing list to this new mailing list is it just takes a minute to do. So
if that's something staff can do easily, then I'm happy to do it. But I just don't know if that's a task which will take someone 3 hours or not. We'll look at it and come up with. We'll do one or the other.
Okay.
Any other thing on the agenda? We have 10 minutes left. I don't mind leaving 10 minutes early.
Alan?
Yes, go ahead.
Cheryl here, just a little bit of administrivia. I'm just going back to the agenda. Yes, it's still there. Just because some people are hypersensitive, none of us on this call, of course, but I would note under participants for today's call, I should not be classified as a liaison. You can classify as who the fuck cares as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not a liaison.
Noted.
Ellen, this is Heidi. On that point, should we make a new sub-point calling advisor?
We don't have that. That is not yet approved.
Not yet either?
Oh, no.
No.
Don't stir the hornet's nest up, Heidi, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
I think WTF and just leave it at that. That'll be fine.
How about riffraff?
I object to riffraff. You can call me many things. I won't accept late for dinner or riffraff, okay?
Anyone else with any comments to make?
Thanks, Alan.
Then Olivia's suggesting squatter. I somehow suspect that will not be more acceptable than riffraff.
Well, in Australia, squatter's not a bad thing. Squatter's
all right.
Squatters are the background of much of our rural history.
Well, how about this? Given where you live,
yes.
How about representative of the underworld?
Oh, on so many levels, Alan.
All right, I think this call has expired, reached the level of whatever it's going to read. I think we can stop the recording. Perhaps we should have a few minutes ago. And I adjourn this call. Thank you all for attending. We've got a bunch of work coming out of it. Let's try to get it done. Thank you all.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Meeting is now adjourned and the audio now will be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.